We love you so much, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We love you, Jesus.
I want us to just continue to worship. Just want to read a short psalm. It's become one of my favorite lately. At different times I've been going over it. Sometimes a few times to several times a day. A friend of mine recently was engaged in a conversation with Pastor Christie, and he was telling me that he had done a study on this particular psalm and taught on it. And it, surprisingly, is one of the most popular psalms of the Jews. And there are certain months, and I followed up with what he said, and I found out to be true. There are certain, I think, months of the year that they repeat this psalm over and over again, or at different times of the day. But it's one that you enjoy as well, as Psalms chapter 27. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." I've heard some excellent teaching on Sunday night on the house of the Lord. "To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted above my enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelties. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord." Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we will wait upon you. For just in your presence is fullness of joy. Just in your presence is renewal. You restore our soul. You make us to lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside still waters. We thank you for the anointing that you have anointed our heads with, the oil that comes upon us. Lord, let fresh oil come upon us in these hours. In the beginning hours of this new year, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will find a resting place. We pray that, Lord, that in this house and in the house which is the most precious to you, the inward person, Lord, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will rest upon us in a new and a profound way. Lord, we're ever searching as you're searching inside of us to bring us to the fullness of the sons of God and the daughters of God. We pray that this morning as we continue to worship, that your glory will saturate us, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just continue to listen and worship. Hallelujah. We love you. praise you, Father. We give you glory in this day, and we thank you for everyone that is assembled here. We thank you, Lord, because we know, because of our prayers over this house and believing that no one is here by chance, that, Lord, we're here because your Spirit has gotten us here, brought us here. Whatever time that we're here, we're to serve a specific purpose, and you're going to serve a purpose in us and to us. We receive that today. We couple together with every assembly around the world, the United States and around the world, those that are by reason of hours in darkness, those that are in light today that are celebrating, everyone that calls on the name of the Lord and pursues the righteousness which is of true faith. Father, we couple together with them to do everything that is within us to prepare a habitation and to bring back the soon coming King. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that in this hour that we are understanding ourselves by revelation to be a last hour, last day generation, which we raise our children and our grandchildren, which we raise this church up before you and lift it up. Lord, we know this. We pray that in this hour, these days that we call now, changes might be the order of the day, that you would change us from glory to glory, that you would cause our services to be a meeting where God comes in incredible ways. Lord, we do ask you continually that you would take out of us religion, that is the ideas, summations and things that we have derived of ourselves of what we believe pleases you, but we pray that you will teach us. You will teach us how to have service. Teach us how to have service, Lord. The first service, or the first agenda, we see in the book of Revelation, before anything else, all of the revelation that comes by the Lord, all the revelation that Jesus delivers over to the church. Before anything else, there was the service of worship. There was the first thing that John began to behold when he was in that place, and before you downloaded all of everything that will take place before your coming and during your coming and after your coming. The very first thing was worship. We do believe that we have at least that part partly right. This we offer up, these extended moments to say, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come in a powerful way. Rearrange us. Take us into the hours where all of the service, the entire service, is worship. Take us into the hours where we lose all consciousness of anything other than being in your presence. Lord, we proceed further today because we feel your presence leading us, but we also petition you, believing that the hour is coming and now is when complete takeovers of worship will be in our service. Lead us into these hours. And then take us into other things, because you are a God of variety. You're a God of continual expansion, and you continue to expand. You're never the same old, but you are always expanding, and yet you are by nature the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in that, you're ever expanding. You're ever expanding your love and grace to us. We release that life. To every home here this morning, we release that life in the glory of God. To those who are fighting depression, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you because you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We bind those things in the name of Jesus. To those that are fighting some type of spirit that just brings an aggravation and a frustration to the home, to the marriage, In the name of Jesus, we pray that in these hours that the glory of God will so saturate and bring forth an anointing that it breaks. Only your anointing breaks the yoke. Let the anointing break the yoke in the name of Jesus. For bodies that are suffering, for parts of bodies that are suffering, in Jesus' name we release. This is our gospel, not only to the spirit, but we release it to the body in the name of Jesus. Let everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord in this house today receive what they've come for in the name of Jesus. We call for restoration of marriages, restoration of homes, restoration of minds and bodies. Lord, we praise you and we give you all the glory. We magnify you. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We often give times for us to greet one another, and I think that it's spiritual. Understanding that you were not brought here by your own accord, but by the Holy Spirit, and those that you will say hello to or touch with a handshake or a hug in the next few moments, please do it with a contemplation that the Lord Jesus in his glorified body may not be here, but the Holy Spirit is here, and that you are touching someone very precious in his sight, and you are as well. So with that, could we all stand, please? Why don't you greet another member of your body this morning? But we really appreciate your remembering the house of God during these times. And it's a blessing for us, for the church, to go forward. So would you, with no more said than that, would you just right now prepare your giving and get ready to do that. If you're making out a check, make it to the Family Prayer Center. Sometimes towards the end of this month, we will have a record of all of your giving for the year. And we'll get that out to you as soon as that comes to us. So, Father, we just bless you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are and everything that you've provided for us. And we thank you that Immokalee is saved and this region is saved and that you've given us a regional vision for this area for a lot of wonderful things to take place. So we ask you now that everything that we need for all this to take place will be supplied. And we know that you are the God that supplies and meets all of our needs and their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So right now, Father, we pray that you'll open up our hearts again and we'll understand the mystery of this faithfulness and the blessedness that, Lord God, that you help us in our stewardship. We bless it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you're giving this morning. And if you have something to bring down, please bring it down during this time and we appreciate it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, you guys can gather that. And Rex, if you'll grab the mic and bless this in the name of Jesus. Would you stretch your faith this way and agree with this mighty man of God as he prays over this offering.
Father, we ask you to bless this offering this morning, Lord, and as even as he was praying this morning, Lord, that you're coming with power, you're coming with all the things that we're calling in, Lord, and as we continue to call them in, Lord, the money and all the finances, everything that we need in this house, Lord, is provided for, and we give you the glory and honor and praise for it. And Lord, as we add to our prayers, Lord, we thank you for great things coming in the near future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We appreciate that. Thanks, Rex.
I come. I love to come and manifest myself to you. I love to come in the presence of your worship of me. I love to come and manifest myself to thee. So continue to enter in that worship. Worship wherever you're at, all through the day, worship me. Have your heart and your mind and your soul and your will and emotions set on me. For when you choose each day as you arise to set yourself upon me, I come. I manifest myself in your life. So let all those things that are behind go. Forget those things and press in afresh and anew in me. For I love you so much, and I do come. I come and I heal. I come and restore. I come for I have come. I come for I have come. So receive from me. Just open and receive. Come as a child to me. A child comes. A child comes and just receives. So come and receive of me, and you will see many things change in your life and others' lives as you just let me come and manifest myself in your presence.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just worship you. We acknowledge your word and we thank you for it. We choose that life. We choose that lifestyle. We give you all the praise for the encouragement from the Holy Spirit to continue to say to do these things, and that you will manifest yourself to us continually. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to John. Little John 3. Just going to read one verse out of there. Probably the most popular verse out of 3 John. Hallelujah. Lord, I stand in awe. Hallelujah. We exalt you. We give you all the glory and praise and all the honor. Thank you for this day and everyone here. Open up our hearts. Lord, not just what I'm saying by you, but everything that you're saying concerning what I will be saying. Speak to our hearts, Lord, we pray, that every pretense, Father, will come off of our ears and off of our heart. Lord, I'm sure that there are struggles in here. I'm sure that there are fights, inward wars. But I pray that right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there will come a quietness, an ability for the seed to be sown, truth to be manifest in our hearts, in our minds. Lord, we are very tired of doing things our way. We are very tired of the progress that we make within ourselves, of ourselves. But Father, we thank you because you have called us to be a people where the hand of the Lord is upon us so strong that we are a witness unto the earth that God is upon us and his anointing is upon us. So I pray this morning that as we speak these words, that the power of your Spirit will anoint our hearts, our minds, everything that we will speak. Father, that we will say the things and hear the things that, Lord, that Jesus is hearing from you and the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to probably just introduce this morning. Hasn't worship been wonderful? And that's what we're after, is presence, because it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. I want to take the moment to just pray for someone's family. You requested a prayer for your, who is this?
My name is Tracy Diaz. She lives in Georgia. She goes to church
And what is her need? Yes.
And she has a tumor on her arm, and okay. She's in a lot of pain. Her hands is numb. She can't even brush her hair. She has no medical insurance, and they're debating on doing an operation.
Okay. She has a tumor. And the pain is, what is her name?
Tracy.
Tracy. Would she receive a prayer cloth, do you think, if you sent one to her?
Yeah.
Okay. You'll stand there. Out of the book of Acts, chapter 19, the word says that prayer cloths went from Paul's body and from his ministry, and that they healed the sick. God followed these. They were just avenues. These are not fetishes. They're not trinkets of some mystical value. They're just avenues of compassion. That's all they are, is avenues of compassion, but that is very powerful. It's a touch point in which someone receives something and they understand that it's been sent by God. And so we're going to believe that Tracy, when she receives this, receives also her healing as well in Jesus' name. So would you stretch your faith this way? You'll be the one sending it. So why don't you lay your hand on it there with me on the top. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God. In the name of the Lord, I command that this tumor be dissolved. And in the name of Jesus, everything that it's attached to it, all the oppression that brought it, I command the stress and the fear and the pain to be relieved now in the name of Jesus. And that this avenue of compassion will bring with it an atmosphere not only to her, but to those that are around her. I release your power, and any demonic influence that is involved in this, we bind this now through the name of Jesus Christ, and we call Tracy healed and a manifestation of your glory upon her life as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We want to talk to you this, he wants to talk to you this morning about preparing your life for 2014. Now, if I were to ask you this morning a rhetorical question, how many of you want to be different at the end of 2014, I think everybody in here would probably respond, with an affirmative yes. I don't think there would be anybody that wouldn't say, I want to be different. When you hear your next year's sermon, when you come into this house or wherever you're going to be at, the first service that you're going to be, this is the first service that's held in this church in 2014, other than that abbreviated time that we had right after New Year's Eve. But wherever you're at, or whatever church that you go into, whether it's here or someplace else in 2015, what we want to do is put you in a posture, in a position where that when you hear that minister speak, whether that's me or somebody else, and they talk about preparing for 2015, that you're able to reflect and say, I heard from God from the beginning of 2014, and I began to set some goals spiritually. I began to set some places inside of me spiritually. And the greatest thing that I want you to be able to say, and one of the things that I know that he wants you to be able to say or resolve, is that many of those places were reached. Because I don't think there's ever a place that we come to where we say we've arrived, but there's a tremendous resolve in just coming to a place where you say, not only was I able to set certain spiritual, physical, academic goals, but I was able to see God come upon my life and actually begin to fulfill those things. And the world talks about New Year's resolutions. And I think before the past, I'd kind of take that light because I thought about that's the world and we're the camp of, we're the body of Christ. And I realized that we're always in a posture spiritually to be changing. So I wasn't necessarily recognizing the fact that there is multiple times in the Word of God where the Word of God teaches us that we need to stop and contemplate And we need to stop and resolve. And we need to stop and say, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to get as quiet mentally, physically, if necessary, and just contemplate. Where am I going? Where am I going as a person? Where am I going as a person created in Christ? What's his expectation of me? And what's my expectation of myself? And I believe that we're at one of those places. I believe that we're at one of those places for you as an individual, and we're at one of those places as a church. And I asked Candy to give me the word definition, and she's pulling it up here. And this is a resolution. The act of finding, this is according to, is this the Webster? Okay. The act of finding an answer or solution to a conflict, problem, etc. The act of resolving something, an answer or solution to something, the ability of a device to show an image clearly within a lot of details. Okay, so it goes into a number of different secondary. The act of finding an answer or solution to a conflict, problem, etc. The act of resolving something. I also seen the definition that I had. I didn't bring my phone in here, but it's there was another part of that that said becoming in a reclined or resolved state, a relaxed state. And I think that's one of the definitions that we also want to catch, is that once you come to a place where, see, the world, here's the comment I wanted to make just a moment ago on the world recognizes that there are times where they need to stop and make a resolution or a thought process for the future and say, I've got to stop here and I've got to evaluate things to go forward. Well, that same, but magnified many times over, that resolution comes from the Lord, even though they're dead in their spirit. I mean, they don't have a spirit to generate life. But the contemplation for change or expansion, because God is a God of ever-changing in this, He's ever-changing in us. And He doesn't want us to look the same. I'm not talking about physically, but I'm talking about inwardly and physically if necessary. But He wants not only you as an individual, but this church to look different at the end of 2014. And one of the first ways to ever change is to come to a place where you begin to contemplate. Now, the world calls it, you know, the New Year's resolutions. We call it being changed from glory to glory. We call it a process of recognizing what His will is. Some of you are going to change some things drastically if you hear the voice of God and follow Him in this year. Some of you will change some things on the inside, first and foremost, spiritually. And then, physically, things will take place. My desire is to be a pastor or a senior elder. I have elders in here, men and women, and many of them are serving as husbands and wives, who are pastors with me. But my desire as a senior pastor is this, to get you as far along, as the Marines say, to help you to be the best that you can possibly be. We function as a church, but our number one priority is to function as a training center. We're training specialists. We're training, this has a negative connotation, but we're training radicals. And we haven't got as radical as we're going to get. And so we're changing, and some of you are going to change some things in your life. Some of you may be the planning of the Lord. If you listen, I've never been against anybody leaving here if they're the planting of the Lord. I'm against people leaving here saying I'm no longer in unity with them. And if we're no longer in unity, my desire is to say, well, why not? Is it something that I can do to make that unity happen? If it's a stand against what we believe, then my blessings are still there. But some of you may be plantings of the Lord. In other words, you may go someplace else and be a planting of God there, but you'll always be in unity with what we're doing here. All I'm saying in that is to say, to give our mind a contemplation to say, look, we're all changing, and God is taking us to a place where He really wants to have a regional revival. He really wants a regional outpouring. And a resolution is that. It's coming to a place where the world calls it, where you're resolving something, resolving a problem. You're wanting to resolve a problem. Now, here's the verse of Scripture, and here is maybe the only verse we'll read this morning, but we'll go into it in the weeks ahead in talking about all the different areas, spirit, soul, and body. 3 John verse 2 says this, "Beloved, I wish above all things," and everybody say all things. Do you believe that was important to John? Do you believe that John was writing here by the Holy Spirit? I certainly do. I hope you do too. "Beloved, I wish above," excuse me, "above all things that thou do" what? Number one, that you prosper and that you be in health and even as your what?
Soul
prospers. Now we'll read this. Why don't we read it together again? If you don't have the King James, that's okay. Mutter along with us. "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Praise God. How many can say amen to that? Now he says here that you may prosper. Listen, there's no virtue in being poor. But this prosperity is not just financial. The expansion of this is it's in every way, beginning first spiritually. Spiritually, soul, and body. And he actually names this as he continues on this verse, that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Now, as I said before at the beginning, is that it's my utmost desire for me to train you by the Holy Spirit to get ready to be a part of a regional revival. And in that, I think it's important for us to continually rehearse over and over and over what we're here for. Now, you say, I'm not sure what we're here for. Well, I hope that I'm speaking as a voice of a senior elder. Let me begin to describe it like this. A rich man, a king, a Lord and Savior has gone away. This is according to Jesus in a parable. He's coming back to receive for himself a kingdom. We're that kingdom. The days are getting shorter and shorter that Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, he wants to receive for himself a kingdom. Now, that kingdom can be worldwide, and it will be. But that kingdom also will be regional. In other words, there will be certain gatekeepers that will be responsible for certain regions of wherever they live, and they're part of the world. It has been given to us, and along with anybody else that will hear this call, as gatekeepers to receive for him a kingdom before he comes back, so that we can present to this coming king, this coming bridegroom, all of everything that he, a prophet, he wants to profit. In the parable, he left something and he wanted to come back and find the prophet, the expansion of what he left. And some were good stewards of it, and some were not, and some were cast out into outer darkness. We believe that if we follow the things that he has said to us, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, if we understand what resolutions are, but yet there's a spiritual application, that he wants us to be blessed, prosperous, and to be blessed according to as our soul prospers. We believe that number one, our call is this, to present to a bridegroom, corporately, to present to a bridegroom a bride that's well furnished, spotless. Individually, what does that look like? Individually, that's where it all begins. Our vision is not number one, revival. our vision is, number one, the miracle of intimacy. It's a miracle. The miracle of intimacy forms you into who He is. The miracle of intimacy forms you. Now, we teach a lot of avenues around here, beginning first with praying in tongues, of how to enter into that intimacy, how to change. Isn't it a travesty? I'm not condemning these churches, but isn't it a travesty? Isn't it a it's a spiritual waste? That's what I'm trying to describe in saying travesty. It's a spiritual waste to just enter into the door. Now, you can preach sermons on, yes, they're in. And I say yes and glory to God. When I say in the door, I'm talking about salvation. That's the threshold, the blood of Jesus. And that's as far as you get, then praise God. We will one day commune with each other in eternity as eternity comes down here. And we will also be a part of that holy city, whether you are filled with the Holy Ghost or not. The Holy Ghost baptism of speaking in tongues does not save you, but it totally enhances everything that you become at the new birth. Isn't it a travesty of the churches that will only go forward on the ministry of salvation? In other words, once you get born again, that's all they ever teach, is they just talk about salvation and salvation and salvation. And some of those churches and organizations have gotten huge, thousands of people. But that's like entering into the front part of your house, coming in where the door's at, and just saying, okay, this is where we're going to live, right here. We're going to sleep right here in the foyer. We're going to eat right here. Guests, we're going to eat. Well, the guest would say, but I can see. You see, you got a living room in here. Can't we sit down in the living room? Oh, no, this foyer right here is salvation. And we're scared. I mean, you know, there's radicals out there. There's radicals out there. There's radicals in the living room. And God help if you go back in the bedroom, because you'll really get weird. And we can't take you in the kitchen. And we sure can't let you get in the kitchen. We can't let you get into the fridge, you know, because that's all private stuff. And that was only for the apostles, and that was only for the prophets. And that'd be like just getting inside the door. Well, listen, we have gotten inside the house, but we've not gotten inside the house nearly as far as we need to. And my desire is to help us all. None of us have arrived to go to the place where we're at the end of 2014, we say, okay, we begin to allow the Holy Spirit. Now, you can never allow the Holy Spirit to make changes inside of you unless you're willing to stop for a while and look and listen and hear. And it goes outside of this service, because you're just hearing this for the first time. And many of you have been hearing change, change, change for a long time. Let this be a confirmation to what you've been hearing, that God definitely wants change. He wants change in spirit. He wants change in soul, and He wants change in body. I'm also, as we go over this the next few weeks, as we enter in, there's going to be some interruption, good interruption. We've got the O'Briens that are coming here in a couple weeks. That's the man that died when he was a young man from a drug overdose, went to hell, and was prayed out of there, obviously. So don't miss that. That's in just a few weeks. But in going forward, as we go forward, God wants to touch you in every single area of your life. Why? Because your life is not just the spirit. It's number one spirit, but it is soul and it is body. Where do you want to be at the end of 2015 financially? Where do you want to be spiritually? We're going to talk about setting goals, but not unrealistic goals. Unrealistic goals and unrealistic visions will keep you from ever fulfilling realistic visions. In other words, if you're not really praying right now, and this is no shot in the dark, if you're not really, don't have a prayer life, don't get excited about praying and set a goal to start praying 8 hours a day. Don't even set an hour, don't even set a goal to set 3 hours a day or 2 hours a day. You got to start somewhere. If you're not spending a quality amount of time with the Lord on a daily basis, you got to start small and gradually gain. Now, this part, a lot of times, I feel I don't think is as much you as me, but I know that a lot of you know that I enjoy running and lifting and different things and trying, like all the rest of us, to eat right. And that's a difficult time during this time. I have celebrated my liberty over the last few weeks, as you can tell. I am also convinced, and let me back up and finish what I was about to say. I feel a lot of times like when I start talking about the physical aspects of it, is that I lose people, and I really probably don't, because I think people sometimes feel like, wow, you can talk about a lot of other stuff, but don't go there. Or maybe you're bragging on yourself, or maybe you're highlighting yourself. I love you too much not to mention all of the other things physically that is probably keeping you from attaining your spiritual goal. Can physical things keep you from attaining your physical goal? Absolutely. If you feel terrible, you'll probably not spend the time in prayer that you need to. If you feel terrible, it'll put your brain and your body, and believe me, you are a three-part person, it'll put your body chemistry in a physical disposition, the world calls it moods, where you'll think there's an atmosphere. A lot of what you think is atmosphere and devils are physical compositions of the brain, and we'll never ever divorce ourselves from knowing that there's a spiritual realm out there. But there are certain things that we must do physically to posture ourselves into a position where at the end of 2014, we're saying we're running a better race than we run in 2013. And I believe with all of my heart that I would give this a generous, and I don't think I would overshoot it, that there's a high percentage, way above 50%, of people that will stand on grace lines, and I say this, and we'll have to preface it because I don't want you to ever feel guilty for anything that you have to have prayer for, like, man, if I'd be doing better, that's a ditch also, because none of us ever attain. But there are sick people after sick people after sick people with all kinds of abnormities and all kinds of problems in their life that if they would just change their physical life, if they would change what they do physically, if they would change how they eat, and again, don't get in the ditch. Man, it's just like there's so many ditches. People start teaching on changing what you eat, and then people will say, well, I'm just going to really do this all the time. And you set unrealistic goals are a trap. You cannot make them. You have to graduate in them. But I just believe that so many people that I lay my hands on, and you lay your hands on, and Pastor Dave lays his hands on, that they're that way because of the way they treat their bodies. And the news is out, and I can give you, I didn't bring his book with me, and I don't have it, but I do know know of the author and his book. Now, you can get information on anything. You can skew numbers however you want them skewed, but I can tell you this, and I kind of go along with this guy. He said the mortality rate, in other words, on how old you live, he goes on to write, and I think he's got two books out of it, it's not, which he doesn't advocate, drinking and smoking and eating bad, but he said it's not drinking and smoking and eating bad. The mortality rate is based on exercise. And I do believe that the average American does not get near the exercise. You say, well, I do this at my job. Your job may be you may be moving, but if you don't get a certain amount of the right kind of exercise, you could put your body in a position where we were meant to move. Our bodies were meant to, when we were an agrarian society, that means when we were farmers and lived out in the country, everybody had a job. Now, Rex lived on a farm growing up and was like 10 or 12 brothers and sisters, and everybody had a job and everybody had to do this. And many of you come from those backgrounds. And many of you have physical jobs today. You're blessed if you do, because you'll probably live longer than most people that don't. But I can tell you this, one of the things that we will talk about this during this, I don't know if I'll call it a series, it'll maybe just an extended sermon over the next few weeks, is that God wants you healthy. And that comes into making decisions on how you treat your body. Now, this is also, it's an elective. It really is. Nobody's going to ask you at the end of this, are you doing this? It's a shopping cart. You can put in what you want or what you don't want. But I can promise you this, there are word-based principles backing up, and I'll give more word on it as I go along, based on how you treat your body and what you put in your body, and also, as I said, not getting in the ditch. In other words, you can eat whatever you want sometimes, but you can't eat whatever you want all the time. You've got to be limited in it. Because I don't care how much you pray in tongues, or how much you believe God, or how much you worship, God does not go against certain laws. And if you put in a bunch of stuff that are against wisdom for years and years, and you have no exercise, do you know depression will come through lack of exercise? Sitting, there are people that just sit and sit and sit, and they're glued to the TV. And after a while, their mind becomes so depressed, they don't feel like praying. They don't feel like confessing. You can't, all you can do for those people is, they won't do it for themselves. You can pray that one day they'll get up and take a couple of steps to the mailbox and then come back, and then maybe the next day decide to walk around the block, and maybe the next day they'll take a short half-mile journey, and you know what? Endorphins will be released in their brain, and they'll feel like the Holy Spirit is setting them free, and He really will be, but He'll be doing it through the laws of nature, and there's a lot of different things like that that we'll talk about. Praise God. How many of you still half love me? Okay. That's okay. That's okay. We want to continue to rehearse our vision. Our vision is about preparing a bride for the bridegroom. Our individual is this. We want to teach you how to become formed into His image. How do I become more like Jesus? Primarily, we've got several different ways to say you have to be formed there by the intimacy through praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is the first and foremost introduced by Christ. Everything else follows in after it. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. If you're born again, you don't have to have the Holy Spirit to go to heaven, and you don't have to have the Holy Spirit to be loved by God, which He already loved you before salvation. The Holy Spirit at baptism enhances or brings forward what you've already become. In other words, He brings it to a forward position and says, this is who you are, and the more you keep praying in tongues, the more I can truly convince you in every single area. The Holy Spirit will even begin to pray for you physically. He'll even begin to pray for you for all of the areas of your life that you're lacking in. He wants you to be prosperous. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. If you are involved in dead-end streets, or if you're involved in dead-end relationships, or if you're involved in dead ends that will not work for you, and you keep trying to make them work for you, what we all need is more time. Isn't that right? We all need more time to spend with Christ. And we also need more time to do the things that we believe eventually He will get us to doing, like spending more time in the Word, like taking better care of our bodies, or like doing the things that we count most precious, like spending time with our wife, our children, our loved ones. If you're single, other people in the body of Christ that count you so precious. But the Holy Spirit will pray for all those areas. He will begin to prioritize and bring you into a place. So the very first thing that you need to understand is setting a place inside of you to say, how do I get this? Now, I can tell you how you start. You start by saying not tomorrow, you start by saying today. You start by saying today is the day. Now, how do you do that? First, desire does not change. Desire is the first part. You have to have some kind of, in other words, you have to stop, look, and listen in the Holy Spirit and say, okay, God, where, in other words, you probably can't do that with somebody or somebody talking to you. You have to do that by yourself, or you have to, or you, some of you are thinking about it right now, and you're in a, you know, you're in that private room of yourself. But some of the ways to initiate change is when you begin to understand, Lord, what do you want of me? Where does me looking stronger spiritually look like? What does that look like? Well, you could say, I want to be a better father. I want more intimacy. I want more power. In other words, I want to pray for people and see my prayers more in a manifestation. I want less downtime in the spiritual things. In other words, I want to be more steady. All of those things are notable. And any one of those things is an advancement. In other words, if you get to the end of 2014 and you look at yourself and you say, man, I've prayed for people in this year and I have seen people get healed. There's more peace in my home. I've dropped 5 pounds. I feel better. I've started exercising a little bit. If financial goals, or if you're broke today, don't set your heart on being, don't start confessing, I'm going to be a millionaire by the end of 2014. Don't be dumb. Just say, you know, God, if I need a job or a better job. But to move forward, first of all, there has to be a desire. That's the first place. It starts in the heart. Secondly, it needs to come to a place where it gets out of your mouth. It needs to come out of your mouth. You need to say it to God. You need to confess it. Ask God. Ask God for it. And if you know that it's His will, like you can't ask Him for, you know, if you're broke, there's no need in asking God for, you know, a 5-bedroom house by the end of 2014. You need to come out of being broke. And you need to be able to get a steady position. If you're single and you want a husband, God put that in your heart. You need to just say, okay, God, I ask you. And you may not be married, and I hope by the end of 2014 you don't have children. But you need to begin to say, okay, God, I have the right person. You don't confess another person's husband or wife. You know, I'm just telling you all the weird stuff that's out there. You just have the mind of Christ and say, okay, God, do you know He'll move you towards that? He'll introduce people in your life. He'll introduce job opportunities for you. But the first place is a desire. Secondly, to move forward in a resolution, you have to begin to say it. You got to hear yourself say it. Thirdly, you need to write it down. There's power in writing something down. Fourthly, is if you're going to move forward, you need to tell somebody. I mean, you don't have to tell the church, but it'd be good to tell your wife or your pastor or somebody you respect. This is what you know why people don't say what they want to be is because they're afraid they'll never make it. And they want it. Look, this is how we look at it. We say, if I do get lazy like I usually am, at least nobody will know about it. If I tell somebody, then I'm going to feel the embarrassment. Put yourself in a posture where, and there's word on this, where we confess one. If you tell somebody, look, you're going to be looking at a new person at the end of 2014. That new person might not be physically. I mean, you can define what you're talking about. But I'm telling you that I'm speaking to God, and I'm telling you now that wait and see what you get. Wait and see. Look, even if you fall short of that, at least you will have adventured out to a point where you begin to contemplate and say, okay, I'm going to do this. And if you don't begin to make those stretches of faith, you'll never get any place. You'll always stay the same. Insanity. Everybody knows what it is. No, that's not your neighbor next to you. Insanity is this: always doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting different results. Did you hear that? I think some of you are a little bit sleepwalking. So we'll say that once again in just a moment. so everybody gets an opportunity to listen. Okay, this way. Insanity is what? You've heard it many times before. It's doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. In other words, at the end of this year, that if you don't change certain things, guess what? You will not have the same, you'll not have any kind of change, but you'll have the same results as you had, what, at the 2013. I believe we're going to see change. Amen? I believe we're going to see the result of change. Why? Because I believe that as a result of us continually contemplating what the Lord wants us to do, we're going to hear from God, and then we're going to take the steps to do those things. Listen, if you don't go out of here in the next 24 hours and say to yourself, look, if you don't go out of here and say, look, what does change look like for me and my family? You've got to imagine it. You've got to begin to imagine it. What are you saying, God? Is there a job change? Is there? And so time is of the essence. Did you know that the Holy Spirit wants to rearrange? You don't, there's no more time. It's only 24 hours a day. That's all you get. So in that, for you to go to the next place, certain things does have to change. What are those changes? The Holy Spirit will show you what those changes are. Sometimes, as I said, if you're saying, okay, God, I can't live on the money that I've got, you're going to have to change. Well, obviously, there's going to have to be some changes in what you do. There's going to have to be some changes. Hearing from God, contemplating in Him, and getting the mind of Christ for the next step, even in prayer. Let's say, for instance, if prayer and spending time is your first prerogative, or it's your first desire, and you say, I don't have any more time. And at this point in time, it may be kind of true. You don't know. If you've got a job where you work all day, you come in and you crash and burn, you need a change. No job needs to control your life like that. Well, do I quit? No. Not until you get the voice from the Lord, because we don't have the money right now to pay your light bill. You'll be coming to us and saying, I'm all excited. I quit my job because I'm going to pray. Now I need $500 for my light bill. And I'll say, you know what? You need to go back and beg for your job back until you hear from God. But listen, the Holy Spirit, as you begin to pray in tongues and as you begin to write things down, He'll begin to show you what are the things that are taking your time unnecessarily. Now, we start with hobbies and pastimes and TV times and all those kinds of things. But again, don't get in the ditch. Do you know God wants you to have recreational time? He does. You're a whole part person. And if you cut out and you say, I'm just going to be a workhorse and I'm just really going to contemplate on this, I'm going to get more, I'm going to be more prosperous, I'm going to exercise more, and I'm going to really just focus. Now listen, you need some just me time, and you need some relaxed time, and you need some maybe some surfing television time, but it doesn't need to be where that it's stealing quality time from you to be able to change. There are certain people that the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, this is going to get some of you. There are certain people that are, they are non-productive part of your life. They are a drain. They are a strain. And I'm not talking about forsaking anybody, but I'm talking about there comes recognitions by the Holy Spirit to say, look, that part, you're spending too much time trying to support that person, and you're going to have to give them to me and let them learn to support themselves in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about just financially, I'm talking about emotionally. You've got friends, you've got family members that you may be trying to uphold, and they're spending so much time with their time robbers. And you're going to have to come to say, okay, Lord, that's a time robber. It's taking too much of my week. Now, I'm not talking about forsaking them. I'm talking about coming to a quality decision of saying, how much can I give them, and the rest part leave to the Lord? How much can I give to that situation? Husbands and wives, you're kind of you're kind of stuck. You're married to them. So you got, but you still, even in that, you can say, okay, Holy Spirit, what is the mind of Christ that says, this is as much as you want me to do? And the other pacifying of their flesh and the other keeping them kind of built up and kind of keeping, a shore up underneath them, I'm going to back off a little bit because I need to spend more time over here doing the quality times. I'm not saying forsake people. I'm saying the Holy Spirit will begin to cause you to understand what true relationships, God-given relationships, are about. Amen? And that goes with family members, friends, courtships. Courtships should be this. Courtships should be the funnest part. Courtship means that, just fun. Fun. It means like, where do you want to go, baby? I don't care, baby. Where do you want to go? You're the greatest. I'm the greatest. Listen, if a courtship is drama, drop it. Now, you got to be married, but drop courtships that are dramas. If a courtship is drama, then drop it, because a courtship should be just oozy goozy. You just, ookies, honey, lovey. I mean, it should be way over the top. Why? Because if a courtship is drama, my God, the marriage will be hell to live with. It'll only magnify. And I've got one of the best. She puts up with me all the time. But there are time robbers. There are time robbers in relationships. There are time robbers in dead-end jobs. The Holy Spirit wants to get us to a place where He is causing us to understand, how do I get to the next level? How do I go to that? How do I go to a place where Your wishes for me, now, because I believe that John not only said this of himself, I believe he said it of the Holy Spirit, I wish above all things that you could prosper and that you could be in health, even as your emotional, you walk around in an emotional disposition of prosperity. In other words, you should be happy. You should be joyful. And if those things are not taking place, then I need to back up and punt. I need to say, okay, God, what do I need to do to prepare? And that's our desire in what we're saying this morning, and we'll continue to say, because listen, if we're not a church, and we are a church, we function as a church, but our main objective is a training center, to train specialists. Listen, numbers are not, right now, our number one objective. We love numbers, but that's not our number one objective. Our desire is to train specialists. If you're an army, if you're a team, if you're an individual in sports, the best are the ones that are most physically prepared. In the summer camps, way before the season starts, it's the teams. If these things are the same, if the coaching is equal to any other team, in other words, the smartness, how a coach thinks and how he thinks offensively and defensively, if you've got one coach as good as another, and if the talent on one team is as good as another, then usually what separates is the preparedness of those teams. How prepared are those teams? And that starts months and months in advance. It starts in weight training. It starts in agility drills. It starts in every part of people getting to a place where they're able to really be prepared. And he knows, a coach goes in knowing, I've got the best. I know into the season. I know way into the season, when the season gets long and it gets hot and it gets like 6-7 games into it, I know that where the physical beating that everybody else is going to be wore out and there's going to be injuries from other teams, I know that training my men, and this goes for the army, the best armies are the ones that are best. If they've got the best generals, if their generals and captains are as smart as anybody else, and they've got the best equipment, if they're equipped as well, what it comes to on the battlefield, who lives or dies, is being physically prepared. We want to prepare you spiritually. We want to get you to a place where you're able to go in and say, I believe that the end of 2014 that I have changed. Now, you might not change. You may have 10 different goals. You may only change in 5 of them, but that's change. You may only change in 3 of them, but that's change. But we've got to say, Lord, what is it that you want us, and look, let me just read just a couple things here for you, and then say a couple of cute things, I should say, and then I'll dismiss you. We're not scared. We are not scared to be or moved by or offended by, if you haven't heard this term yet, you'll catch it this morning. The seat that you're in, what color is it? Maroon. A lot of times when we stand up here, or you're here with us, there's plenty of maroon, isn't there? Plenty of maroon. And maroon oftentimes looks at us as a big monster. Somebody recently referred to it as the maroon typhoon. A typhoon is a big storm that has come in and come out. There oftentimes is a maroon typhoon in this place. There's a lot of maroon looking at us. And that's quite contradictory in a certain sense of concept of what we're saying we really want to accomplish for our King. And that is to give him a tremendous influx of souls. But let me just say it like this. We are not scared of or moved by or offended by the maroon typhoon. In fact, there's a part of us, now I only say a part of us, that likes it. We are not an army of numbers. We are an army of specialists. Until we are adequately trained, the concept of setting our eyes on numbers would just get in our way. Amen? We are not confirmed by, qualified, or justified presently by numbers. We realize, now this is another very important part, now listen to this, we realize that other ministries may be presently blessed with a God, and I underscore, a God-given influx of ministries and numbers. We recognize this with an absolute and a true thanksgiving. But we refuse to be intimidated by the voice of the enemy that insists our confirmation is based on numbers. Hallelujah. Now, this is a cute fact, and some of you guys heard this, and with this we'll close. But sometimes, not you, not me, but the voice of that atmosphere that is a barometric atmosphere. In other words, the barometer moves up and down, and the pressure, the barometric pressure sometimes in the spirit gets kind of real heavy. And when the barometric pressure in the spirit gets heavy, the maroon typhoon looks very accentuated. In other words, it comes to an accentuated place. It looks like the maroon that stares at us is a complete confirmation of what we are not yet existent in Christ. But I was looking at some things academically the other day, and just in the natural, and this was amazing to me. In 2010, there was a census. There's censuses all over the United States, but we got ours in Immokalee, and that's been 3 years ago. Well, it was 24,100 and something, basically, you know, if you want to round it up to the next thousands, if you go, which 3 years later, we could say maybe 25,000. Surprisingly, the population rate of the United States had gained from 2000 to 2010, 9.7%. Florida is expanding. I mean, Florida is blowing up. And I don't know what it is right now because I'm going off a few years ago census. The population rate of the United States was 9.7. Florida is populating at 17 point something percent. That's amazing. Would you believe that since 2000 to 2010 that Immokalee progressed 22.2 something percent? People that say, oh, it's a dead town, nobody's going to listen. It not only stayed ahead of the national average, it stayed ahead of the Florida poll too. Isn't that amazing? Immokalee and this region is in revival. This is academic. This is not going to change your life. This is not going to cause you to get any more food on your table. This is only a little fun fact for you, okay? If 25,000 people live in Immokalee, even with our maroon typhoon, oftentimes, maybe not this morning, but a good representation, but more or less if you have like meetings where Pastor Dave comes, you look at people that you haven't seen in a while and you say, oh, I forgot about you. I forgot you were part of us. And that's kind of a shame, but you realize, and they're like, yeah, I'm still here. You know, if you do a survey on people, people will tell you that they belong to that church or that's their church. And this is across the board. This is not just Family Prayer Center. They'll tell you they belong to that church, or that's their church, even if they make only the celebrated services of the year. And that's about three. That's Christmas and Easter and different ones. Even if they only go there during that time, they'll say, that's my church. So if they go two or three times a year, and a lot of times we have people that we don't see for months at a time, but they believe this is their church, and I'm not going to take that away from them. And when I see them, I'm like, that's family again. Praise God. I hadn't seen you in 2 months or 3 months, but you're family. I figured that with cats and dogs and little people and squeezy little people and big people like adults that we may have, now we've had much more than this in the past, but we may have 125 that identify, and I think that's, I think I've got that'd kind of be a good conscience kind of figure. 125 people of 25,000, that's a whopping number percentage-wise of 0.005%. That is only a margin, small number. In other words, that's a half of 1%. And the Maroon Typhoon says, wow, we've got you guys. We confirm that you're no reason to be in existence. What are you doing? This is amazing. If we were living in a township, a city, that had 100,000 people, and we had the same rate of Maroon Typhoon, 100,000 people would give us 500 people. Isn't that amazing? We haven't done so bad. If we lived in a town of 250,000 people, and we had the same rate of success after 17 years, we'd have 1,250 people. We're stewarding, by the grace of God, where we live presently. There's a lot more coming. If we lived in the Fort Myers area, in the Cape Coral and planted there of the 500,000 people, we would have 2,500 people. Just with our lowly 0.005%. If we lived in a city or metropolitan area or someplace complex like that of 750,000, we would have 3,750 people. If we lived in a city of 1 million, we would have 5,000 people. We're not going away. We're having great success. If we lived in Pensacola with 461,227 people, we would have 2,306 people with this same rate of 0.005% success. If we lived in Jacksonville with 345,596 with our lowly 0.005%, we would have 6,727 people coming here. Praise God. If we lived in Tampa, downtown Tampa, and we were stewarding and we somehow pulled out the grace of God for 0.005%, we would, living in Tampa, of the 2,783,243 people, we would have 13,916 people. We're getting bigger all the time, Melody. My God. If we lived in the greater Orlando area, Orlando's gotten bigger than Tampa. I didn't believe it. The greater Orlando area is 2,818,120 people. If we lived there having the same rate of success of 0.005%, we would have 14,090 people. Hallelujah. If we lived in Miami, down in the heart of Miami, and had our same rate of success of the 5,564,635 people, we would have 27,823 people. And I tell you, with saying that, that it's hard for me as a pastor to be humble with this rate of success that I'm having. Hard to be humble. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise God. Father, we love you. And we thank you that this region is in revival and it's in an outpouring. Take us from glory to glory. Bless these as they go out of here today. And we thank you that this will be the best year that we've ever seen. More of you and less of us. And we go in to this outpouring with these contemplations. And would you lift your hands and give him all the glory. Father, we thank you. Change us. Come to us on Monday this afternoon and help us to begin to go into those places of contemplation where change is necessary. And we commit all these things to you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning as you're being dismissed.